Okay, someone's recording it. Okay, so it's taking a little while, more, a little longer to update, to upload, but okay. All right. So, all right, let me just get back to here. So this is working, fine. Very good. Okay, so today's daf is daf Nun Beis. As we mentioned before, learn today's daf is sponsored by Kenny and Rafi Norensberg, Zephyr Nishmas, Moshe Dov, and Shaul Pinchas. The Shama should have Aliyah.
Kenny's father's called Arya Ben Issa, but I guess he knows what he's doing.
It's from Rocky's father.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyway, fine. So we're continuing the team discussing what tachshitim, what things an animal can come out with, and can carry on Shabbos, and what cannot carry on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tana Debei Menashe. So we are fourth line from the top on Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Sorry, I had the wrong page. So Tana Debei Menashe. They say that Eis Shechakakla Ben Karneha Yotze Be'Achzar B'Shabbos. So if we have a goat whose owner carved out holes between its horns, it can go out with this halter. Asar, this halter. Go with this halter on Shabbos, because Rashi points out, if you dug it through the horns, then it's enough. But if only for when you tied it, have a loop down below. The problem that they're afraid of is that it's going to, that I guess the A's is a little bit wild. So therefore, if it's not completely tied in, it's not tied in tight, then maybe it'll come out and you'll end up carrying it, right? But by Rav Yosef asks, what about Tachav Lav Bezikana? If you tied it to its beard, I guess the billy goat, the goat's beard, Mahu, what's the din? Are we allowed to catch, are we allowed to take it, go out with this as well? Cave made with the sodium of the suffix. Cave on the Minatas La Kayble. Maybe we're not concerned that the ace is going to rip it out, because if he rips it out, it hurts him, because I guess it's tied into his beard. So he's not concerned that he's going to rip it out. Right? So low Asfil in Atukha, he won't take it out. O Dilmore, maybe Zimna de Rafi Vinafil. Sometimes, just over time, the knot gets weakened, right? The knot's not as strong. Zimna de Rafi Vinafil. But and maybe it'll fall out. And if it falls out, the possibility exists that somebody will pick it up and carry Dalit Amos Birishus Harabim. The Gemara leaves that as a take. Okay. Next, the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned before. We mentioned yesterday this idea of Shmir Yaseira. Remember, there was a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel as whether or not you can put on the animal something, a Shmira, very glad to be Shmira, but whether that Shmira could be stronger than what's necessary. I just want to make sure everyone can hear me, because I don't see anybody moving
yes.
on the screen. But
yes. Yes, we can hear.
Okay, excellent. Okay, great. It's not awesome. Right, the Mishnah says later on, actually on Wednesday's off, it says, Lo Biritsua Shevein Karnel. A cow cannot go out with the string between its horns. Right, it doesn't say why you would need a strong. The issue being is that a cow does not require shmira. Apparently, its cow is well behaved and it doesn't move. Right, so the Mishnah there says that the cow can't go out with the string between its horns. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, think about Rav Shmuel. Right, there's machlokes in Rav and Shmuel. Chad Amar Bein Lenoi Bein Lishamer Aser. What's the purpose of having this rope between the horns of the cow? So Mishnah said it's usher to go out with this rope. So what's the purpose of this rope that's usher? So Rav Shmuel Chalav Arbein Hashem Noi Bein Shamer. It makes no difference whether that ritsua that's put there is for an adornment for Noi or it's for Shmira. It's still going to be usher. It's usher because if you do for adornment, the adornment is simply that's usher. That's sort of a burden, and it's usher to go out with it on Shabbos. And if it's put there for Shmira purposes, it's too much of a Shmira, maybe, right? Rashi says, Lenoi, Shetsova, you color it, the Kola, Lenoi, Ben Karnet, Kmikliam, and Karen, Ben Oksanaba, you don't hold on to it. Or the Shomer is to hold on to it. So one Mandarin says it's Usher either way. because the shame, it's also the shame noy because it's a burden, it's an adornment. It's also the same shmira because the cow doesn't need shmira. You can leave the cow without pulling it. The chad amr, and one says, no, the noy usr, it's only usr for the adornment purposes because that's considered a burden. But the shamer, but to use it as a, to help you guide it, the shamer, that is mutter, because even though a cow can be guided and nishmeres without holding on to it, this is an additional shmira. This is something extra. And if it's something extra, then you see that it, that can be, that that's mutter. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Tistayim de Shmuel, Uda Amar L'Shem Noi Osir L'Shem Mutter. Let's prove that Shmuel is the one who says that if this thing is there for shmira purposes, to help you guide the cow, that's still mutter. Because, we said yesterday, at the top of the daf, the Amar Rav Kunda Bar Chia, Amar Shmuel Halachik Chananya. Shmuel was the one who said in the name, all right, Shmuel said, Shmuel was quoted as saying the halacha is like Chananya. Chananya was the one who said that Shemira Yaseira Muteris, that even, that if I can use, if I can, level one is enough to help me guide the animal, and I use something at a higher level of Shemira, that's mutter. So to hear that you don't need this rope, but nevertheless, if you use the rope, it's still mutter to carry, must mean that that goes in accordance with Shmuel. So Gemara says, Amrale Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, no, Adarab, Tistayim de Shmuel Uda Amr Shabin Linoi, Bain Lishamar Usr. We have another statement of Shmuel that's going to seem to that seems to indicate that Shmuel says you cannot have Shmira Yaseira. You cannot have this extra level of Shmira. How do we know that? The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, because Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, quoting our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah said that there are different types of camels that go out. Right, the camel can go out with the afsar, which is something that's tied to its neck, right? And the anaka, which was that female camel, goes back with the chatam, which is that iron thing in its nose, which is a heavier shmira. Umachlif, and they, remember yesterday they flipped it. They asked Rebbe, umachlif lifnei Rebbe, shall zo bizo. What if you switched the shmiras and you have this heavy thing in the nose that was good for the female the camel, you put it on the male camel? And Amar Lefanav, and Rebbe said, right, Amar Lefanav of Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi says back to Rebbe, Kach Amar Abba, this is what my father, Rebbe Yossi says, Arba Behemos Yotzos Ba'afsar, there are four animals that go out with this afsar. Afsar, again, was a thing that was around the neck. Four go out with the afsar, that's a sus per gamal b'chamor. So those go out with an afsar, la lamute gamal b'chatam. That comes to explain that the gamal only goes out with the afsar, it doesn't go out with the chatam, because the chatam is a shmir yaseira. And who was staying, this whole statement was made by Shmuel to begin with. So you see from Shmuel, Shmuel forbade you, he doesn't allow you for the camel to go out with the afsar, which is that iron nose ring. So you see that according to Shmuel, you may not use a shmir yaseira. So you see here what's going on. Now we have a stira in how you learn out Shmuel. Does Shmuel say shmir yaseira is allowed, or is shmir yaseira not allowed? Based on when he's passing, like Chananya, seems to be that he says Shmira Seir is allowed. When he brings the whole memra about that the camel cannot have the chatam on it, seems to indicate that Shmira Seir is what's going on. So Gemara says Samei Ha Kamehai. Gemara says, you know what? We got to erase it. Samei. Well, let's erase the second. The second statement, and say that's not Shmuel. That's a racist second statement. So therefore, we have no statement where Shmuel says that Shmir Yaseira is Usr, and we're left with the statement of Shmuel passing the Chananya that Shmir Yaseira is Mutter. So the Gemara then says, well, if you're going to erase something, why are you erasing one over the other? Who's you have to have a reason to erase. They seem to be equivalents. So why would you erase one over the other? So Gemara says, right? The Gemara says, Umach Chazis. The Misam is high, becoming high. Why are you erasing statement number two in place of statement number one? Same high, becoming high. Right? Why don't you erase statement number one and leave statement number two and say that Shmuel holds that, and Shmuel holds that, right? Shmuel holds that Yishmir Yaseira is not Mutter. So Gemara says, no, because we have a clear Brisa. I mean, we have this clear Brisa to begin with, I don't know we bring it. He says, because if anything, we could skip the parentheses. He says, Rechiv Arashi Amarab. Being the noy, being the shomer aser, Rechiv Rabin Amr Shmuel, the noy aser the shomer mutter, because Rechiv Rashi had a brayso that said explicitly that Shmuel said that being the noy, being the shmir is mutter, and then you can have this extra ritzua on the cow. So you see from this statement that it's clear that Shmuel held clear that Shmuel held that the extra shmir is mutter. That's why he's going to be the one who says that you're allowed to have the rope between the horns of the cow. You know, the cow doesn't need shmira. This shmir is still mutter. And his whole statement before about Shmuel stating stating what happened, and that only a camel can't have the chatam; it can only have the necktie. I guess we're erasing that somehow. I don't know. Somehow you erase that, and that goes away, and we're left with Shmuel saying that Shmir Yisera is mutter, and you're allowed to put the rope between the horns of the cow and move and carry it outside. Okay, good? All right. So now the Gemara is going to ask on Rav. So Gemara, we have Rav said that Shmir, based on what we just said, Rav is the one who says that Shmir Yisera is usser. We just said that he's the one who said you may not have placed, you know, put the rope between the horns of the cow and then leave the cow outside on Shabbos, because the cow doesn't need shmira, because shmira's cow will listen to you by itself, and he doesn't need the shmira, and shmira yaseira of the rope would be then considered something not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So, meisvei. So they asked on Rav as follows. This is by a para aduma. So the rule is by a para aduma, the para aduma cannot, it becomes pustle if it does any work. If it carries any burden, the para aduma becomes usher. So meisvei. So they asked on Rav from the following Mishnah to Maseches Parah. Kishtaruha bahaleha fimosera kshera. If they tied a harness to the paru aduma, to this cow, it's not going to be become pustle. But why? According to Rav, a harness is shmir yaseira. It's extra. It's not necessary for the cow. And if it's not necessary, therefore it's considered a burden on Shabbos. It should be considered a burden for the paru aduma as well, and therefore to become puzzle for carrying a burden, right? And if you think that these harnesses are a burden on the cow, that's why you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Asher Allah, the only cow that's kosher for a paru aduma is one that never had a burden placed on it. So if it's a burden for Shabbos, why is it not a burden for paru aduma, therefore puzzle it from being a kosher paru aduma? The Gemara gives three answers. Amar Avai, says number one, Himolicha miyolihir. Now this is different. The reason why you put in the harness on the Parah Duma in this Mishnah and Parah is because you're now walking from city to city. So it's a long walk. So it's a long walk from city to city that you might need the extra protection of leading the cow, because from city to city it's a long walk and it might stray, and therefore this harness is not considered extra a burden for the cow. It's considered something necessary for the cow. Rashi says, from early year, the stam paramone the mokko marbet shalag. A cow is going to so you need to hold on to it when it goes to a different city. I guess when it goes to a different place, it's not in the place that it's comfortable, it might stray. So therefore you'll need this harness to pull it, to keep it on the path. But if it's not going from city to city, I guess then you won't need it. Rabba says no, shani para the tamea yukari. Because it's very different. A para doom was different. Because a para doom was very, very expensive. It's very valuable. And you want it from Parah Aduma, you want Shmira Milimali. You want to have a very special extra level of Shmira. So therefore, you're right, on Shabbos for a regular cow, putting the harness on, it's a burden. It's not necessary. But for the Parah Aduma, it is necessary, because it's not a Shmira Yisera. It's a Shmira Yisera for a regular cow, but it's not a Shmira Yisera for a Parah Aduma. That's what you would normally do for a Parah Aduma, to have this extra protection, this extra Shmira, so that it doesn't stray and get possible. And Ravina says no. Ravina says a different answer. It's moredes. We're talking about a para aduma, and this para aduma is a moredes, but it's a difficult animal. It gives the yokimta that it's a moredes, and therefore you would need to. This type of cow, for whatever reason, typically does stray from the path, and you need to harness for this in this situation. It's not like a regular cow. A para aduma is different. Why is the para aduma different? So Sfasema says the para aduma is different because he's not able to do anything. Para aduma is not allowed to go out. It's cooped up because you're afraid that it's going to become pustle. So it's totally cooped up. If something is cooped up, it becomes wild. A child, you tell a kid he can't go outside, he's got to stay inside, he doesn't have an outlet. If you have no outlet, it becomes wild. So para aduma has no outlet. So when you're finally walking it from place to place, by definition, the Sfasema says what Ravina is holding is the para aduma becomes a moredes, and therefore having the harness on it is something that's required and necessary in order to keep it from running away.
We're not just talking about a regular cow that's rebellious then?
No, I think he's talking
about... It's specifically...
It's the definition of a para aduma.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, sounds like us the last 7 weeks, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yes, you got to go for a walk.
Yeah, I do.
Jump the fence and go on the golf course. You have plenty of room to walk. All right. The Mishnah, then we'll go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the horse, right? The Mishnah said, Hasus Yotze Bashir, that the horse can go out with this collar. And then it says, anything that can go out with a collar, it says, Yotzen Bashir, Vinim Shachin Bashir. It can go out and can be pulled. So it says, Yotzim and Shachim. So the Gemara has to figure out whether Yotzim and Shachim is one thing, it's Yotzim and Shachim, or it's Yotzim or Nishachim, one or the other. Right? So that's what the Gemara says, my Yotzim. What does it mean? What's the definition of Yotzim? What's the definition of Nimshachim? Am Rav Huna says, this is what it means. O Yotzim Keruchim, O Nimshachim. They can go out either with this collar wrapped around their neck, right? So if it's wrapped, Keruch means it's wrapped tight, and you can't grab it and use it for... can't use it as like at the pole, and therefore it's something that's like it's just there for an adornment. Or you can go out. Also, it can go out if it has this little string that comes out with it, and you can use it as a leash. So it's either karuch, which is like a just wrapped around like a ring around its neck, or as a string as a collar to pull. But Shmuel Amar, no, it says yotzim nimshachin. The ein yotzim keruchim. It can only go out with this thing if it's usable as a collar to pull it. But if it's just wrapped around the neck so tight that you can't put your hand in there to use it and to pull, then you can't. The horse can't go out with that ein yotzim keruchim, because that is going to be considered a noy, an adornment, and therefore that's an adornment. It's usher for the animal to go out with that because he's going to then be carried. But only Shmuel only allows it if you can use it, if it's functional to be used, as the sirtsua, has this little strap that comes out, and it's functional and can be pulled, and it can be pulled along.
Michael, I'm not following. The issue is carrying, or the issue is shvisas behemto, is the same, one of the same? Like,
it's one of the same. The shvisas behemto is that your behemoth cannot be violated hotza.
Oh, tzar is the issue. Okay.
You can't have your behaviors do
work. I thought it's work. The animal walking is considered as working the animal, or are you saying carrying this thing?
No, shvitas behemto means you can't have your animal do malacha.
So what's the malacha it's doing? It's just wearing
the tzar.
It's tzar.
Carrying the thing out.
Yeah, but it's not really work for the animal. Well, I guess it is.
It's not. Malacha has nothing to do with work. Malacha is malacha.
Right.
You're not allowed to be motzi. You're not allowed to be motzi. You're not allowed to do that. So that's the shvitas behemto. Right. So that's what the Gemara asks. What's the difference? Right. Again, Rav Huna says that these animals can go out either with the leash wrapped around their neck or pulled by the leash. And Shmuel says it means it can only go out if you pull it by the leash. But this thing is wrapped around so tight and you can't pull it, then that's not, you can't go out. Masnista Tana. And in the Brice that they learned, I think it's more like Shmuel, Yotzim Kruchel Nunsham Lili Mashiach. You can go out. If it's tight, but there is something that comes out from it that you can pull it and you can use it. Amar of Yosef Chazim Alhu Leigdei Debei Rav Huna. Rav Yosef says, I saw, I guess the cows of Rav Huna. So Yotzim Ba'af Sarehen Kruchim Meshavis. They would go out in the Sarabim with these collars tied around their neck. Lushitaso, that they can go, even if it's just for beauty, just an adornment, just for noy, then that's permitted. You don't need this functionality to be able to use it to pull. Okay. Ki asa Rav Dimi. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar, he said, Amar Rav Chanina, he quoted Rav Chanina, who said, Mula os shall base Rabbi Yotzos ba'af Sarehen b'Shabbos. I think mulos are they translated as prados, which are mules. So the mules of Rebbe would typically go out on Shabbos with their afrasehen. Right, which I think means again, which is their halters wrapped around their necks, right? It's wrapped around the animal neck, and therefore they would go out with that without the ritzua, more similar to Rav Huna. So the Gemara, says, well, what does that mean? Iboilu, keruchin onim iboiluhu. When it says keruchin, right? They went out keruchin onim shachin. How did they go out? When Rebbe Kanina said that the mules of Rebbe went out with these collars on Shabbos. Were they kruchin? Were they just tied around their neck to the point that they weren't useful and they were just an adornment? They were just annoying. Oh, nimshachim, or they were able to use it for. They had this functionality. They were able to use it as a leash. Right, then it makes a difference. Right, if it's used to a leash, And that's something that is not considered a burden. That's something they're allowed to go out with on Shabbos. A toshma. So they're going to try to figure out the suffix. Ki asur of Shmuel bar Yehuda. Where Shmuel bar Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael of the Bavel. Amar, he said the name of Rabbi Chanina. Mulo'u shobis Rebbe Yotzos ba. For sayim kruchim the Shabbos. He said specifically that they were kruchim, which means that these were, the Rebbe let them to go out if these collars were wrapped around the neck tight and they weren't usable as a leash. They were just there as an adornment and they were allowed to go out, which is supportive of Rabunda. So Amrur Rabban and Kameda Ravasi. So they said this statement before Ravasi. Had Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. What Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said? He said, "Sorry again." Amrur Rabban and Kameda Ravasi. Had Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda wrote Sricha. We brought Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda to prove that Rebbe allowed them to go out, even if it was just the kruchim, it was just for an adornment. And he said, we don't need that statement of Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda lo tzricha. We didn't need that because we could have already learned it from what Rav Dimi said. What Rav Dimi said? Rav Dimi was the one who said that they just went without saying b'shabbos. Why? Because his the isak the daitach the Rav Dimi and shachik ka'amar. Because if you're going to tell me that when Rav Dimi said that he quoted that Rebbe allowed the mules to go out with these things around their neck, and if you're going to tell me that what Rav Dimi meant, they only allowed them to go out if they were usable as to pull as a collar, right? Me the Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel nafka. Then if basically every statement needs to have a chiddush. So if Rav Dimi was only telling us that they can go out if you can use it as a leash, that would have been a chiddush because we already have known that from what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says. Then Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, again, this case where we talked about, they asked Rebbe and they tried to flip if with the camel. We always say that the camel can go out with the thing wrapped around its neck. The female camel has the thing in the nose. What about the thing in the nose for the camel, right? Machlifin hayu lifnei Rebbe shel zo bezo. So we already know from there that the Rebbe allowed the camel to go out with this thing around its neck. So if Rav Dimi comes and says that Rebbe allows something to go out with the thing around its neck, must be something more than what we just already learned, which means it can go around its neck even if you can't pull from it, even if it's just there for an adornment. So why do I need the statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda? I already learned it from Rav Dimi. So Gemara says, no, Amar Lahu, Rav Asi says, Itzricha Lahu. I need both statements. Dim Rabbi Yehuda Nafga, and I just had the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, Haba Amina, Amar Lefana, Velo Kibol Mine. If I had just had the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the same Rabbi Yehuda, which you just said before, about that they switch things back and forth, maybe that's he just said it before Rabbi, but Rabbi didn't accept it. Maybe Rebbe didn't hold it. So Kamash Malan to Rav Dimi, maybe Rebbe held that you can go out with other things. Maybe Rebbe had you can't have a thing wrapped around the neck. So Kamash Malan to Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi said that Rebbe does hold that because even the Rebbe's mules would go out. What Rav Dimi said? Yeah, Rav Dimi said that Rebbe's mules would go out with this thing wrapped around his neck. Either Rav Dimi, and if we just had Rav Dimi, had it been in Yavshachim, then I maybe would have thought it only could be used to be pulled, used as a leash. About Kruchim, it's tied tight, maybe Rebbe wouldn't have allowed. So Kamash Mal Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, that's where the next statement to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, to tell me that they were allowed to go out, that Rebbe didn't allow them to go out, Kruchim on Shabbos. Okay, so these are these different types of harness, I don't know, these collars that were used. Again, the whole point is that if the item is something that is usable for the animal, then it's not considered a burden, a masui, and it can be, and then you have no problem of otzah. But if it's something that's only as an adornment, it's only noi, then it's considered a masui, it's considered a burden, and you can't carry it on, and you can't carry it on Shabbos, because the behema can't go out with it on Shabbos. So now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah also mentioned this idea of this collar that was wrapped around the horse, right? That the horse could go out with the collar. And then the Mishnah said, "Umazina lehen betolim mekomran." If this collar became tummy mace, right? Became tummy mace, you can sprinkle the mace on the collar, and betolim mekomran that you can put the collar in the mikvah even when it is on the neck of the animal. It doesn't have to be removed, right? That's what the Mishnah said. The Gemara says the inference is b'memra. If you're telling me that you have to sprinkle the mechatos, and you're telling me it has to go into the mikvah, the assumption is that these things can become tummy mace, that these things are susceptible to tumah. But the Gemara says, how can that be? These are thickness of a hatnan. We have a Mishnah in Kalim that says, tabas adam tumeya, a ring, right? A ring that's used as an adornment for a human, that becomes tamei, can become tamei. But tabas behema, but a ring for an animal, like this ring around the neck, right? And kalim, or ring around a keli, b'sha'ar kol tabos, and all other types of rings, to mention a ring for a door, tahoros. Those are tahor. They're not susceptible to tumah, but they're not considered kalim. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, tahoros, why? Dilav mishum takshit mitamu, ding takshit likli. These things are not considered takshitim, especially for the kli. There's no takshitim likli. Likli nami lo havi el takshit, likli nami lo havi el takshit. It's not a kli. But so Rashi says that these things don't become tamei. So the Mishnah says we favor the thing around the neck, the ring for an animal does not become tamei. So what is our Mishnah talking about? That you sprinkle the mechatas, giving us a heter, that you can sprinkle the mechatas, you can put it in the mikvah, even if it's on the animal. Why are you doing
that? Isn't the issue chatzitza? It's not tamitara. We'll get to it.
So the Gemara says, that's one of the issues. But the first issue that they're saying here is that, forget the issue of chatzitza, before we get there, this thing's not makabel tuma. Why does it have to go to mikvah to begin with? It's not makabel tuma in the first instance. Why would it have to become tahor? It's not tamei. Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafla, Rav Yitzchak says, Bivoy minoy adam linoy behema. Oh, the collar that's on the horse that we're talking about here in the Mishnah was something that was initially used as something, an adornment, as a necklace for a human, and now we're using it for the necklace of a horse. And it became tummy, Rashi says, while it was on the human. Right? Rashi says, Bivoy minoy adam linoy behema. It says, Masnisin, our Mishnah, it's the first, the last wide line on top. Masnisin, Kegot Shinashish Shir Zelatashik is Adam. This was initially made to be jewelry for a person. Uba Odula Adam Nitma, and while it was on the person, it became Tame. Ula Akar Tumaso Nitlu Behema, and after it became Tame, they put it to the Behema. But Sarah Lat Vilo, Mitumaso Rishona, Shoyigam Taharos. So now you have to be Togolith and sprinkle the Mechatas on it from its original Tumah. So that's number one. So you're right. Answer number one is Enochanami. If it's just the tabas for a horse to begin with, it would become tamei. But this is different, because this was initially a tabas for a human, that's what became tamei, and then it was put on the horse. That's answer number one. Rav Yosef says, answer number two, Hogel v'adav moshech v'hemes ha-behema. Right? This is considered something more than just an adornment for the horse. Since this is something that you use, that the human uses to lead the animal, right? Rashi says, Hogel v'adav moshech v'hemes ha-behema, it becomes a kli for a person. It's like a cup. It becomes a kli. But once it becomes a kli, it becomes susceptible to tumah. And he proves it. Milo Tanya, we have the following brayso that says, Makel Shaka Behema, right? If you have the rod, I guess this is the rod, the staff that you use to prod, to hit the animal, to lead it, if it's Shamatefes, if it's iron, Mikabel tumah, if it's metal, Mikabel tumah. My town, why is it Mikabel tumah? What's the reason? It's for an animal. It says, no, hold the other road of hand, since it's something the humans use, the person uses, they hit the animal, therefore it has utility for the person, it's considered a kli. So Hachanami, so to hear by this collar, hold the other motion for hand, it has utility for a person, and it's going to be considered a kli. So Gemara gave two answers, as where habits becomes tame. Answer number one is because Yukimta, the first was on the person. Answer number two is, no, this is a kli. This is used as a kli for a person, and since it has utility for a person, it can become Mikabel tumah. Then the Mishnah says, now get to the second question, the tovel of the mekoma, and you have no problem. You don't have to take it off. It can go into the mid.
Okay. I don't know how, but.
Michael, we lost.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
I thought he was on the phone.
He's still on the phone?
Yeah. You are on the phone, right?
Yeah, I'm on the phone. Okay.
Oh, awesome. Okay. That's good.
Okay. Fine. So I'm still on the phone. Just the whole thing got.
Yeah.
Taken off the computer. Okay, it's back on the computer also. Okay, he says, "B'tovla b'mikoma." You can do tefillos. The Gemara said, so we mentioned before, I think maybe David or Yossi, "B'ha'ika chatzitza." How can it go into the mikvah? How can it work? You have a chatzitza here. What's the chatzitza? So Rashi says, "Ha'ika chatzitza." He says, "Shetaba'as hakavua b'shir kavua bo b'chosek v'enamayim nichnas nishtam." Rashi says that it's like there are two pieces. You have the collar around it. And then you have this ring that's attached to the collar, and the ring attached to the collar, that ring is so embedded into the collar, there's no room between the ring and the collar. Tosfos just says you have the difference is that you have the collar itself is tied on so tight to the animal. So you have this chatzitza, right? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami says, Vishev Ritchon. We're talking about a case where you sort of you banked it, you know, you stretched it out a little bit, so there's no chatzitza. That's it. Oh, there's a chatzitza? No, there's no chatzitza. There isn't a chatzitza, and therefore it's not a problem. Right, Tosfos just points out that Rashi says that we're discussing a case of Perish Mekunchavus, Paptosos, Shetabaz, Tekua, Bashir, Bechozek, the Eina Mayim, the Chlasin Sham, the water never gets in there. So he says, Omer Ri says, Tzarek Lomar, Shepamim, Masirin Osan. It must be that every now and then they do take it off, because Osim Ahem, Elashbeth, Neatzman, and you do some other work, but like this ring is attached to the collar. It must be that every now and then you take the ring off. But if you would never take the ring off, then the ring becomes a permanent fixture on that collar, and it's mm-hmm. one piece, and it's not considered a chatzitza. It says, right? Right. Again, according to Rashi, that these two pieces, one piece is attached to the other piece. And you're worried about the small ring that's attached to the collar. How can it go into the mikvah? It's chatzitza. Well, it must be that it separates, because if it doesn't separate, then it's one kli, and there's no issue with chatzitza. And this tosis is very important when it comes to certain things, when it comes to going to mikvah. Say a woman has a permanent fillings in her teeth. What's considered a chatzitza or not? If it's something that typically comes in and out, then that might be a chatzitza. I mean, I'm not asking. If it's something that doesn't come out, it's fixed permanently, then it's considered tuchel to what it's attached to, and it's not considered a chatzitza. So the whole shayla about temporary fillings, are those considered chatzitzas or not? Maybe since they're supposed to come out, it's considered chatzitza. Maybe because they only can come out if an uman takes it out, it's not considered chatzitza. But it stems from this idea that in order for something to be a chatzitza, it has to be something that would typically come out. If it's something that's fixed permanently, it's not considered a chatzitza. So we just answered that this is not a chatzitza, because what you did is that you opened it, right? You made it wider, right? It's shevritkan, right? You made it wider. Rashi says shehikav patish, right? Rashi says hikav patish adshen pashet v'nisrachav hanekev saviv saviv. So it opened up. So Gemara says lema Rav Ami, maybe Rav Ami who says that this is the case that Rav Ami is Rav Yosef Sfirulei. Rav Yosef, that he holds like Rav Yosef. What's Rav Yosef? Okay, so we had the machlokas before as to why this thing was makabel tumah to begin with. And we gave a few answers. Rav Yosef gave the answer because it's a utensil that has utility for the person, right? It's like the rod. Make Rav Yosef's relay. The Ikir Rav Yitzhak is if Rav Ami holds like Rav Yitzhak said the reason why this item had become tummy was because initially it was a human's ring and now it came to an animal. Right, the Iker of Yitzchak, the Amr Bevayim, no Adam, no Beema, came on the Ritcha, the Avdu Humaisa, and Parchla to Miminai. According to Rav Yitzchak, what happens? You're changing the status. Right, it was first the ring of a human, and then it was the ring of a person, and that's why it's becoming Kabbal Tumah. But according to Rav Ami, what you did is then you stretched it out. So if you stretched it out, what you've done now is you've done a Maisa to the item. You've changed the item. It's no longer the item it was before, and therefore it would lose its tumah to begin with, right? It would lose its tumah. Right? Rashi says, "The ikar of Yitzchak." Let's go back one Rashi. Rashi says, "Rav Yosef Sfirulei." Right? The Amar Kishahin Chol Behema Nami Kabli Tumah. If this ring is something that belongs to the always was used for the Behema, it's also considered something that is susceptible to tumah. Hold the Ademosha for him, because a person that has utility for a person, he can pull it. Right. So therefore, if you stretched it out after it got tumah, akati b'musayu kaimi below parchu b'tumaso. Even if you stretched it out after it became tumah, it's still being used for the same purpose. And akati chazal behema, it's still something for the behema. It still does. If an animal loses its status, if a kli changes its status, then the tumah dissipates. And that's what it says to Ikar Rav Yitzchak, the amar lo mikabel tumah elav odon adam. Right. Rav Yitzchak said they only mikabel tumah when they were on the person. So tumah zoshe kubla odom la'odom, the tumah that it got initially when it was on the human, keva deritichon, now that you stretched out this ring, v'shuv ein noim la'odom, and now it can't be used for the person anymore, butli luhumi toris tachshik. It's now no longer considered a tachshik that it was before, v'tiyarom v'tumasim. That itself makes the tumah automatically disappear. Right? Let's read inside again. Lema from Ami Rav Yosef Sfirulei. And the tumah disappears. The tznan, how do we know that? It's a Mishnah Kalim. Kol ha-kalim yorgin Let's say you're making a kli. How does the kli initially become susceptible to tuma? When in my mind I finish, I say that I'm finished working with it. This is how I want the kli to be. I'm done. Now it's a kli. So that's why it can go into tuma. V'hein only mitumasim el b'shinui ma'isa. It leaves its tuma when you change it, when you do some act to it, and you change it. So therefore, so to here, you changed it, and it therefore would lose its status of tuma. So Gemara says, no. He could still hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. When do we say that if you change the status of the kli, it loses its tuma? That's only if you do something that's, I guess, bad for the kli. But if you do something positive to the kli, you do something attacking the kli, it's not a maitzah. That's what you did here. Here, what you did is you widened the ring so that it can fit onto the animal. So it's latakim, right? That's not considered, so right? Here's latakim. Zoe Tukun, Sor Fahim, Rashi says. This was something you did in order to make it better for the animal. The time you reviewed the Omer, Lo Amrishina Maisa, latakim El Lekalkel. The only time a kli will lose its status of being a kli and therefore lose its tuma is if you do something detrimental to the kli. Here you did something positive to the kli and therefore it's not going to lose its status. So even with sort of Ami can even hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, because even though Rabbi Yitzchak says it became tameh when it was on the person, and now you stretch it out to put it on the person, well, that's a tikkun of the kli and therefore it's not going to lose its status of tuma. Now the Mishnah Gemara just goes back. We had asked before, how can you be tovel the item? Isn't there a tzitzitza? Quote to Bryce, it's simple. They're mukulalim, that they're wide and they're not so tight. Right? They're mukulal, right? They're holes, right? And therefore, the holes can get in, and it's not a problem. I mean, that's the simple answer. It's just not so tight, and therefore, it's not a tzitzitza. Okay. Now the Gemara just goes on to two digressions. And until we get to the Mishnah. Shol Talmid Echad Migalila Elyonis Rebbe Eliezer. So one Talmud from the Upper Galilee asked Rebbe Eliezer the following question. He says, Shamati, I heard, Shecholkim ben Tabas le Tabas. I heard that there's a distinction between different types, so there's halakhic distinction between different types of rings, but I don't know in which realm of halakha this is discussing. So Amar Lo, Rebbe Eliezer says to the Talmud, Shemelo Shemata Elohim Shabbos. When you heard that there's a difference between different types of rings, that must be only about Shabbos. What does that mean, only about Shabbos? Rashi says, Le'inyan, towards the end of the short lines, he says, Le'inyan Hotzah Shabbos. When it comes to taking rings out, carrying rings on Shabbos, Yish Hiluk, Ben Yish Alev Chotam, Le'Shein Alev Chotam. It depends whether it has a signet or not, right? Something that has a signet, that has a chotem, is not considered, as a, like they use it as a stamp. That's not going to be considered a jewelry, and therefore the woman cannot go out and sit on Shabbos. If it doesn't have a chotam, it's considered jewelry, and the woman can go out on Shabbos. Because, so when you heard it, there's a difference between different types of rings, it must have heard you the difference regarding different types of rings on Shabbos. Because the in the tumah, as if you've heard it, there's, when it comes to tumah, dov v'dov fadlaki, there's no difference between rings, all rings are the same, that there's no chiluk b'nei between them. Mara says, really? The Indian Tumah Dabla Achasi, that all rings are exactly the same when it comes to Tumah, Bahalot Tna'an, Bahatna, with this Mishnah in Kalim that says, Tabas, we just mentioned it, Tabas Adam Tmeya, only the ring of a human can become Tame. Ba'at Tabas Behema, the Kalim, which are called Tabos, Toros, they don't become Tame. So there's a big distinction between rings. Human rings for a person become Tame, rings that are not for a person do not become Tame. How are you telling me that there's no distinction between rings? The Gemara says, no. Kika Amrele, Iwanami, the Adam Amrele. When Rabbi Lazar said that there's no distinction between rings, he was only talking about rings that are worn by people. When rings worn by people, there's no distinction between Gabi Tumah. All rings are people are susceptible to Tumah. The Gemara says, really? Is that true? The other David Achasi, is there no distinction between Gabi Tumah for all types of rings worn by people? But Tanya, we have a Tosefta that says, Tabash is Tkina Lachor es Musnov, the Lichor Bink Seifav, Tahora. He has some sort of ring that is used like, either as a belt or some sort of suspenders, right? Those things are tahora. So you see that there is a difference between rings. One says, no, lo amru tmeya, and then below amru tmeya, el shal etzba velvat. The only time you say a ring can become tamei is if it is a finger ring, right? So Gemara says, no, you're right. Tika amru yonam, the etzba tamerle. When he said that there's no difference between rings, Gabi Tumah, he's only talking about rings that are finger rings. He goes with tabas, dabad, achasi, and there's no difference in Gabi Tumah for all types of rings, even if a ring is even finger rings. For Hatnan, you have the following Mishnah, tabasha matefes. If you have a ring that's made out of metal, the chotamashto al mog, but the signet, right, that they use to press the sign, the signet is from wood, it's still makabel tuma because the ikar is the ring, and therefore the ring is something that is metal as makabel tuma, but the signet is wood. It's not going to become makabel tuma here because it's pshutik v'yeitz, that's not a base kibble, whatever, it's not going to be makabel tuma, but he shall alma, but the ring is wooden, the chotamashto matetas, and the signet is metallic, it's tahora. So you see there's a difference about human rings worn on the finger. We still find a difference. There's not. What I meant to say is that there is no difference between rings that are worn by people on their fingers that are all metallic. That's just that there's no difference. Okay. Next. The Ochal, similar sacrifice. The Ochal, this Talmud asked again, Rabbi Yezer, he says, Shamati, Shechokim ben Machat l'Machat. I heard that there's a difference between different types of needles, right? There's a distinction in halacha between different types of needles. You just don't know where that distinction is. So Amalei, there's this back then, Shemelo Shamata El Inyan Shabbos. You must have heard the distinction in the Gabe Shabbos. Shabbos is a difference between different types of needles. And we'll see a little later on that a needle that has a hole in it, right, that is considered a burden and you can't go out on Shabbos because that's supposed to be used for sewing. That's not jewelry. But a needle that is not nikul, but doesn't have a hole in it, that's like a pin, that's some sort of stuff, a pin, that's a jewelry. I mean, there is a woman can go out with it on Shabbos. So therefore, it must be that you heard that the distinction between needles is a Shabbos distinction. The Tuma, who's talking about in the Tuma, dog the da'achasi. It's the same, there's no distinction when it comes to needles, when it comes to Tuma. Really? In the Tuma, dog the da'achasi, there's no distinction between Tuma and needles, all it's on. We have Mishnah came, it says, Macha shanitol chora, right? A needle that I guess its hole broke. Oh, uksa, or I guess its pointy part is not pointy anymore. Tahora, that's tahora. It's no longer a kabel tuma because I guess it's not functional anymore. Yes, you're right. There is a distinction when it comes to needles, but when I said there's no distinction, kikarmelay b'macha shleima. I'm talking about a full needle that's not broken. What's that? The shleima, David da'achasi. Really, there's no distinction even if they're full. But it's not. We have a bali mishnah kalin. Macha she'el so chavuta a needle that got rusty. Im ma'akev es tefira, if the rust prevents you from doing a proper stitch, tahora. The needle is no longer tamei, it's tahora. The ilav, and if it doesn't prevent you from doing the stitch, tamei, it's tamei. And what's considered a makat that prevents you from doing the tumah? If it's so rusty to the point that when you stitch it, the rust comes out onto the clothing. So you see that there is a distinction between full needles. He said, you're right, there is a distinction. Now I was talking about there's no distinction. I'm talking about needles that aren't rusty, right? That's why there's no distinction. Even needles that aren't rusty, even Shifa, David Ahasi, you still think of the same thing. Bahatanyo, the following brisa that says, Matas, Bainikul, Bainikuba. So I have a non rusted needle, whether it has a hole or not, whether it's not, Mutala Taltila Bishabis, in Rashiyachid, it's not considered Muksa, because even a machat that doesn't have a hole in it, so therefore it's not muksa, because I guess you can use it to pull out a splinter or something like that. The lo amrinan nikuva, we only see the distinction by a machat that has a hole in it or not, el inyan tumah bavad. So there is a distinction whether it has a hole or not for tumah. Where it says no, hatarkama abaye, even the rabba the galmi. Abaye already answered this question. He said that Mishnah is talking about a galmi. A galmi is basically like a golem. It's not finished form yet, right? Same language as a golem. You're talking about, I guess, you have the sheet of metal. You have the sheet of metal that you can pull out that it's not, and you haven't really completed, and you're making, I guess, the impressions of the needles, and you can pull out the needle and use it, but it's not completed yet. So the galbe tuma, it's not completed. It's not going to be completed yet. But when I was talking about it, there's no distinction between needles that are full and not rusty. I was talking about completed needles. Therefore, I am still correct. So I guess we'll stop here by the Mishnah, and I'm going to figure out, again, my technical issues. But we'll stop here by the Mishnah. Everyone have an